Sometimes we have to do it over and over until we get it right. And God's never going to leave us nor forsake us, you know, but eventually he wants us to get it right. And we want to have the kind of spirit that's teachable. Saul didn't. Saul didn't have a spirit that was teachable in him. And with that right spirit, you know, we're teachable for the ministry. But with the wrong spirit, and yet you have the right talent. You have good talent, but it's the wrong spirit. It can bring turmoil into a ministry or into a life.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Samuel, looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16.
Sometimes we can feel a burden because maybe in the household, your parents didn't really acknowledge you much. You know, it wasn't something where it was really a training in an environment where you could grow and be loved and mature in that. Possibly that's what it was with David here. And I think that can be sad because it's hard to learn on your own how to grow up, how to be a parent, how to be a woman, how to be a man. It's hard unless you have a model and an example that are training you up. And that's what the Bible says, train a child up in the ways of the Lord, and when they're old, they'll not depart. The training is hands-on. But if you've never had that in your home, it's very difficult, you know, when you're growing up. And I think that's why there's so many psychosis and so many weird things happening with people, because they don't have that. Really, the only hope is coming to faith in Christ. And all of a sudden, even though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Lord is now your trainer. The Lord gives you that image, that self-image that maybe you didn't get in the home. So here they pass over David, verse 12 goes on. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and beautiful, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. David, barely a teen. When it talks about a ruddy youth, just talking about rosy cheeks. You know, maybe a young guy. You know, you see a young fellow, and he's maybe 13 or 14 or something. And, you know, he's just got that clear complexion and rosy cheeks and big bright eyes. And that was David. And they feel he was very young, you know, probably, you know, in his teens. We don't know because it doesn't say, but barely a teen. But in God's eyes, he was king. He was king. Here's the king. Samuel didn't ask. He just looked at him, and God spoke and said, he's the guy. So apparently Samuel wasn't going, oh, this must be the one. No, he didn't even say that. He didn't even think that. God chose him. And now he doesn't come in to his kingship or being king for probably about 15 years. 15 years. You know, if only we could see as God sees and not write people off who don't meet our standards, boy, we could be a lot better, couldn't we? A lot better in the church, a lot better person. Because I think here, that whole family wrote David off, but God didn't. You might feel like you've been written off. Well, God doesn't. He doesn't at all. I think what David did, you have to think about David. It might not have been a real pristine life. Brothers probably picking on him. And you see later, they didn't respect what is happening here at all. Because later they put him down when his father sent him onto the battle lines to bring some food stuff. And they just really put him down. You know, what are you here? You don't want to look at the battle. You know, get back home. Who are you? You know, they just put him down. And so David, I think he looked beyond his family for his identity. He didn't base it on his dad or on his brothers. You know, they're his model to grow up. He didn't look to anything for his self-worth but the Lord. That's what he did, who he was. He looked to God. He composed songs. Remember composing songs under the stars, looking after those sheep, singing unto the Lord? That's where he got his self-worth. That's where he got his character. That's who he was. True self-worth can only be found in our relationship and our fellowship with God. The deeper, the more intimate that fellowship, the more we know who we are, because we've been fearfully and wonderfully made, greater God's works. And that's who we are. But if we're looking at the world, we're looking at one another to get our self-identity and to get our kudos and our strokes and stuff, we'll never be satisfied. You'll be a chameleon. You kind of change colors around who you're around. It's only with the Lord that we really get that true sense of who we are. You know, his brothers didn't get it. They didn't get it. And when he was anointed, and you see it a little farther in verse, in chapter 17, verse 28. Eliab said, he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." Wait a minute, he's anointed king, and you treat him like that? This made no effect on them. His brothers, they didn't get it. They were not impressed. His anointing, yes, that was true. And that anointing is not an empty act, as we see here. It's not an empty act, but it came with divine power. The power of Christ came upon him from that point on. David grew inwardly. He grew inwardly. God's character was developed in him, and yet his outward circumstances deteriorated. In one point, he said, "All is against me." We see it as we go on in the book of Samuel. You know, I remember as a little kid, just really being a kind of a little radical kid, and I think I was 10 years old. I didn't really have any supervision, but we lived by the beach, and so I was kind of running around in the neighborhood. But I remember being down at the beach once, a lonely little kid, and it was a lonely little life. And I remember there were some beach people down there. They were doing evangelism, and they had the wordless book, you know, the black page, your sin, the red page, the blood of Christ, the white page, you know, cleansed from sin, the gold page in heaven. And so I wasn't around that group, but I just heard them talking, and they prayed to receive Christ into their heart. I did at that time. I off in the distance, nobody even was there with me. And so I prayed that prayer that I heard them pray. And you know, a light went on inside of me. I don't know what it was, but it was different. I can see what happened to David here. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Maybe for me, it wasn't that dramatic, but I remember as a little 10-year-old, something happened. It was a light that came on. And I did become very conscious of the Lord and very religious at that time, but there wasn't any church that taught the Bible. The church right next to my house, I went to it, but it was so boring. And then when I got into high school a little later, then that really when, you know, you get kind of radical back then. And then, of course, I tell my testimony when down in Waikiki, when I was 27. So, you know, it took a number of years, 17 years for me to come back and really get on fire for the Lord. But, you know, what I see in David at this point, he's going to go through a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties, but God is working in his character. And that's how it works. My first scripture I memorized was in James, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That perfect is mature. I realized I was so immature for my young life. And I wanted maturity. I wanted Christ-like character. And I knew whatever trials, whatever difficulties, that is what was going to produce. You see, so I can kind of identify with David, you know, as he goes through that trials, it's developing his character. So can you go through, identify with David, going through your trials, and as God's working in you to develop your character. You see, we all can, God working in us to develop Christ-likeness. Well, he goes on, verse 14, we'll go all the way down to verse 18. "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. And Saul's servants then said to him, 'Behold, now the evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. Let our Lord now commend your servants, or command your servants who are before you. Let them seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is on you that he shall play the harp with his hand, and you will be well.' So Saul said to his servants, 'Provide for me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me.' Then one of the young men answered and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him.'" Now, we don't know the chronology of years that have passed by, months or years that have passed by, but David's a little older. You're going to notice that Saul doesn't necessarily recognize him at this point. A lot of people in, a lot of servants in Saul's court. But notice, when Saul turned from God, God turned from him. I think one of the things that is troubling for people is an evil spirit from God came upon him to terrorize him. That's exactly what happened. I mean, we don't change the word. That's what happened. You see, Saul had grieved the Holy Spirit. He had grieved the Spirit, and the Spirit left, and God sent an evil spirit to terrorize him, bring him to repentance. I mean, it's not just torturing him. That's not the purpose. God did that to bring him around. I think one of the passages of the Bible that you can see this very thing from God is in 1 Kings chapter 22. You could read that on your own, do your own homework. But there's an issue with King Ahab, who's an evil king of the southern kingdom, a northern kingdom. And then there's Jehoshaphat, king of the southern kingdom, good king. But Ahab wants Jehoshaphat to partner with him to come against the Syrians and battle them. Jabesh-Gilead is Ahab, so he wants to battle them. And so Jehoshaphat says, "Okay, as you are, I am as well. I'll go with you, and we'll fight together." But he says, "First, can't we have a prophet to tell us if this is a good move?" And so Ahab gets his, you know, he parades his prophets out there, and they're all saying, "Oh, go! You're gonna win. You're gonna win the battle and stuff." And Jehoshaphat, he's a good king. He recognizes these guys are just yes men. They're just saying what Ahab wants to hear. And so Jehoshaphat says, "Don't you have a prophet of the Lord that we can ask?" And he said, Ahab said, "Oh, yeah, well, there's Micaiah, but, you know, he always prophesies against me, so I don't like him." And Jehoshaphat prevails upon him and said, "Well, can we hear from him?" And so they go and they get Micaiah out of the prison, and the guard says, "Now, you better tell the king the right thing, because he's going to go out to battle. You better say, you know, what the other prophet said." And so Micaiah, he comes out and he says, "Oh, king, you are going to be victorious out there in battle." He's just mocking these false prophets. And Ahab says, tell me the truth. Tell me what God is saying to you. And he says, "I'll tell you what God is saying to me. you're going to go out and you're going to be wiped out in battle. Because in heaven, I saw a heavenly scene and a spirit of the Lord came to the Lord and said, I will be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of these false prophets. And the Lord said, go, be a deceiver in the mouths of these false prophets. Because God wanted to bring judgment upon Ahab. So it's interesting. God, you know, when you think of demons or you think of spirits, they're subject to God. God can do whatever he wants with them. And I think sometimes when you see people, they were in the Lord and all of a sudden they leave the Lord and they get so radical, you can't even recognize them. It's almost, they become maybe not demon possessed, but demon oppressed in a very radical way. And I think really that is what's happening to Saul here. That protection is removed. God's spirit, protection removed. And a person is either going to be ruled by the flesh or ruled by the spirit. And if a person is ruled by the spirit, ruled by the flesh, it opens the door to demonic spirits because they go deeper, deeper in the flesh. And Satan will use that. And demons can come in and oppress them. And so Saul is really changed radically. Demonic oppression happens to him. I don't necessarily think he's possessed, but demonic oppression happens in a big way. Now, he does get temporary relief, you know, as David is going to play, you know, on the instrument, on the harp, but it's only temporary relief for a terminal problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's rebellion in his heart. It's turning from God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, is what Samuel said to him. So is it any wonder that he's dealing now with demonic forces? But you see, music can calm a person, but it can incite as well. You've heard about those that will come in and shoot a school up. They just listen to some radical kind of music that got them all hyped up. You know, it can create a calm in a person, or it can excite a person to do violent acts. You know, if that's what they're all about. If they're violent anyway, they can just be ramped up to do that. And I didn't download one of the, maybe you remember a couple of the guys that went in, shot up a school, and they just listened to some radical music beforehand. I think I used the illustration in the morning a few weeks ago. But notice here, we have the end of it, verse 19 to 23. He says, so Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son, David, who is with the flock. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David, his son. Then David came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. So it came about, whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Yeah, it was temporary. You see, the problem is a spiritual problem. And you're trying to fix a spiritual problem with some kind of sensory type solution, sensory music. You know, it can have a calming effect. It can do something. You know, people try to live their life and they try to be at peace and in harmony with, quote, the universe. You know, a lot of us were there at one time. And so they give you a mantra to say over and over. It's supposed to calm you. Or maybe hypnosis, or maybe a psychological technique. And these may calm and soothe, but only confession, only humbling before the hand of the Lord is a long-term solution for that. Because a lot of us tried the other things before. And we just kind of revert back to it. And so those become the crutch that we have to have, but it's not long term. It's only temporary. And you see, God's the fixer of all things, not soulish solutions. Soulish solution is only going so far. It's not touching the spirit. The spiritual solution is once for all God's work in a person's life. Now, I know that music can change the atmosphere, even Bible teaching. I've talked with people, they say, oh, I leave K-Light radio on all the time. It's on all day. It's on all night. Oh, we turn it down at night, but it's because it fills the house with God's praise and God's word. And I think that's cool. And there are those that listen to the word of God, and it just brings that life and that light and that love into their life because it does that. It does that. But, you know, to just have music as a temporal kind of change, an atmospheric kind of change, a conscious and soulish kind of change, well, that's fine. But you see, you're dealing with the devil that wants to destroy you. And until a person spiritually comes alive, being born again because of Christ's death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension to heaven, him sending the Holy Spirit now to us and in us and upon us in power, there's where that radical change takes place. And you see, that's what we need. I like music. I love worship here. You see, Saul's mind is calm, but his heart remains the same. Look at all the nice accolades he says about David. And the rest of David's life, Saul is on the hunt to kill him. He's so fickle and so erratic. And David, he plays that harp. He learned it under the stars with his flocks, you know, just singing unto the Lord. Actually, the harp is the oldest musical instrument in the Bible. It had 8 to 10 strings. You'd pluck it with your finger or with a pick, kind of like we'll say our guitar nowadays is that. And then notice, for a time, Saul snaps out of it, and then David goes back home. He goes home to the sheep, but then eventually comes and he's in the court of Saul.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.